Hang him up.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We're thankful to the Lord this morning for all his goodness and his mercy toward us, to our president and to Chairman Parker in his absence, co-chairman Pastor Giddens, and my team, Pastor Reverend Poe and Pastor F.N. Williams, I want to acknowledge them, and then to Pastor Dixon, who has done wonderful job talking about discipleship. Talking about discipleship, reformers said that if there's no discipline in the church, you don't have a church. No discipline. Amen. I want to go back to this subject that we've been dealing with, no grip on theology, a serious sermon deficiency. There are some handouts with you. Well, I don't see any more on the table. But what are you trying to tell me? Say it. Yeah, they're on the table. What was there? Now, I anchored myself initially in Job chapter 7, where God says that he was angry with Job's friends because they had not said what was right concerning God. And we need to hear that, because we should not be flippant about our theology. What we say about God and how we handle God's word, that will get you in trouble with God. Trouble with God. So it's important. Matter of fact, the disciples said when they was not disciples, but the apostles, over in Acts chapter 6, they said, shall we leave the word of God in prayer to wait on tables? So we know how high this was lifted. That our duty, while your brothers, your deacons, or whoever down there at the train yard where they work, or shipyard, wherever, you ought to be in the word. You got a job to do too. Your 40 hours ought to be somewhere in the word. As much as that is possible. Now, so what we were looking at on last week, I backed up a little bit on last occasion. I backed up a little bit to look at just somewhat of the exegetical outline. My interest is the theological outline. And this really takes more time than this, but do what I can. The theological outline is my interest, because that's what many of us are missing. The sermon is not about people. Some sermons are just soap operas. Just all we do is talk about what folk do. Folk like this and folk like that. Well, we know what folk like. We see them every day. But what does God say about what folk are doing? And what does God want us to do instead of what comes from us? That's what the sermon is about. What does God say about it? So let me jump right down and get into this outline so I can move forward. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 1 is where I've couched this little outline from. y'all forgive me, my throat is, y'all hear me? and so here in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, it says, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said. So that's verse one. So when we start looking at the exegetical outline, then that's where we are doing our Bible study from. If anybody's taking Bible study methods, that's really where you get, you break down the text. You're only really looking for what the text says. This is not your sermon. This is the first step in creating a sermon. And so you study. I have a very simple outline here. Let me see, can I move through it? This is where you look for your Greek words, your Hebrew words, and your relationships, you know, whether it's comparison, contrast, interrogative, so forth and so on. This is where you look for your figurative languages and all of that kind of stuff. Right here, special words and terms, all of that while you're studying. That's all you're doing. You're studying the text. So now we have the first words. This is your the first words of the verse that we're looking at. It says, now these be the last words of David. So now you want to kind of sum that up and get your thoughts. Remember, what we're doing here is we're thinking through the text. We're thinking about the text and allowing the text to give us thoughts about it.
That's right.
Amen. And so here you see on the outline, I say David left a godly legacy. So that's, he's going to give the last words. These last words are about David. I said that we needed some prerequisite. Understand the book of 2 Samuel. It's about the record of the king of David.
Yeah.
Get outline the chapter.
Yes, sir.
Chapter is the last words of David. And then the mighty men of David.
Right.
And then I said, get the main idea of what your pericope.
Yeah.
Of the particular portion that you're preaching from.
Well,
David, identifying David in this verse as he gives his last song. Right. And so we know where we are. We understand where we are. Here's where it starts. These be the last words of David.
Yeah.
David left a godly legacy. Now, what can I think about? Think through that. Think about what the Bible says about David. Think about how that applies. A godly legacy. David's last words were preoccupied with what was most important to him. And that's God.
Amen.
What God has done.
Amen.
How God raised them up. How God. So it's identifying. It's identifying David. And his last song.
All right.
And then the last words of David were a testimony of how God worked in his life.
Yeah.
Right? And then here's another thought. David wrote down what he wanted folk to remember.
All
right, now, that's just thoughts about this. You could get 100 of them. Thoughts about what's being said here. Now, let's go down on your paper there. And we're going to go to the first point under the theological. And we want you to see how this pans out. So what I want to get now is I want to move from the textual observation up to give a principle of how this worked, not just then in David's time, but how it works now in our time, right? So here's my statement. Every Christian's life, especially the leader, is about what God has done. Now I drew that. That's my statement. That's theological. It's not your sermon. This is just theological thoughts about this text and its implication for then and its implication for now in all time. So what's my theological thought when I say that? I try to always sum it up in one theological word. What's in view here? God's glory. Glory.
Yeah.
I can preach all day. Now, when I get here, talk about the theological part of it, the glory of God. And I ought to emphasize that as I am preaching my sermon. Not just about the facts of the text, not just about the application for the day, but somewhere in there, I need to tell somebody that we ought to do all things to the glory of God. See? And so that's how that thing come together. So I'm thinking theologically, I'm making my sermon about God and not about just the stuff people do. Amen. Not just the stuff David did.
Right.
Not just the stuff we should do. But I want you to know this is what we ought to pursue, church. This is what we are to pursue, the glory of God. So I got references like, and again, we got to take the whole Bible when you're talking about theology. The whole Bible is what keeps us correct. That's my whole point, really, right there. How do I stay right about what I say about God? It's staying within the perimeters of the theology of the scripture. Not this old stuff, folk, this old inspirational speaking and all this stuff that's going on today where, you know, ain't talking about nothing. But talking about what's in the Bible. Here's a couple of references. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. Whatever's done, got to be God that has done it. Here's another. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ live in me. So forth, so on. You see what's happening there. Now, I don't really have time to do another one, but I want to jump back to what I want to say about the theological outline here. This middle outline moves from textual observation of the occurrences of antiquity, that means back then, to the principal thoughts about God and how he has designed things to work. That's what we're doing. We're thinking about God and how he has designed things, whether they be sinful and the consequences thereof, or whether we see in the text righteousness and the reward thereof. How does God do things? Because what we want people to know, but Paul, is we want people to know God. We want them to look at the text, and we want to help them as preachers to see God in the text. We want them to know that this is God's word, God breathed word. And if we're going to say what's right about God, guess where it got to come from? It has to come from God. That's what we call revelation. That's why the Holy Ghost come in and illuminate. Amen. What we read, help us to understand it so we can know God. So we can know God. And so the point, so at this point, we are looking for big theological ideas gathered from the whole of Scripture. Systematic theology. Can't be one thing in Revelation and another thing in Genesis. Genesis say this, folks often try to defend what they're saying. You sit and say, this is what the Bible says emphatically, and then they want to take Scripture and put it against Scripture. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that because Scripture, all truths run parallel. They don't intersect. They don't go perpendicular. They all, the Bible is absolutely true. So if you see something that looks like an apparent contradiction, then you need to study and ask God to help you to see how they fit together properly. This is theology. That's what I'm talking about. This is theology. You know, so such ideas is stated in the scripture, I'm talking about theological ideas, over and over and over again. You're going to find the idea of justification in every book of the Bible.
Bring him back.